Good morning, everybody. It's 6 past the hour, morning's edition on Air America Radio. My name is Dan Pashman. I'm here along with Brendan McDonald.
Yes, you are.
Chris Lopresto in the house.
Good morning.
We're in for Mark Maron and Mark Riley. They will be back next Tuesday. We're holding down the fort until then. And holding our own, I like to think, Brendan.
Yeah, right.
I'm coming apart of the seams over here.
For those of you who are listening, which is obviously everyone, because the only one who can see us is Chris, Dan walked in this morning 5 seconds before we're going on air and says, I blew my nose too hard, and now I have a nosebleed. And he is bleeding onto a tissue right now. Just before the mics were open, there is a huge piece of tissue hanging out of his nose.
I turned to Brendan with this ball of tissue stuck in my right nostril. I'm like, is this going to distract you during the show?
I said, I don't even think, before he even said anything, I said, you're kidding, right?
Right.
This is the perfect way to start the show today. Yeah. That's what we're doing.
Are we at a high altitude here or something?
That's what we're doing here at Air America. We're always plugging the bleeding.
Yeah, exactly.
We're always trying to stop it with some kind of tissue.
It's true.
Rammed up there.
But, you know, it's true, Brendan. You know, this is a kind of a vacation week for many people, and a lot of people might be away, but a lot of people are working, and we here at Morning Sedition are here for you, and this just goes to show how hardcore we are at Morning Sedition. I am bleeding on the air right now for you people, so I hope you appreciate it.
Right. Dan and Kalo and I are here to stop the blood, to, you know, hold down the fort while Mark and Mark are on vacation and keep that Morning Sedition vibe going so your day can just keep humming.
I'm feeling a little lightheaded, Brendan.
All right, maybe we need some sugar in here real quick and get your Mountain Dew and get that blood sugar back up. Okay, but we do have to cover some things that are in the news. We're going to actually proceed here without blood.
I think it's drying up. I think I'm okay.
Okay. So the main thing that we obviously have to talk about is the aftermath of this hurricane.
Yes.
Which by now people have seen many of the sensational photos, buildings with absolutely no faces on them, windows completely shot, cars buried under piles of bricks, water surging over rooftops. And now we're starting to hear the stories, people's individual stories,
right.
Cell phone conversations that took place between loved ones who are trapped in homes with water quickly rising above their knees. It's really been dramatic stuff. It's what you would expect from a major storm like this. We've seen reports that at least 55 people across 3 states are dead. That's Louisiana, Alabama, and Mississippi.
Right.
Of course, though, we're not going to know the full story of that until floodwaters have been purged and the rescue effort is complete, which could be quite a number of days with the amount of water that's in places like New Orleans and coastal Alabama and Mississippi. What we're hearing now are desperate attempts to save those people, people who are stranded on rooftops without food, without any other recourse,
right.
And other higher elevation areas. And you know, we're getting just a lot of sadness today. That's really the overall feeling that we're getting out of the Gulf Coast.
It really is, Brendan. It's one of those things, you know, certainly we all heard the warnings. We all heard the National Weather Service forecast. Everyone was you would think you're mentally ready for it. You know there's going to be devastation. You know that there are going to be people who are going to lose their lives. And it's still upsetting and disturbing when it actually happens, even when it's been forecast for days in advance.
Right. It doesn't seem like enough of a concession that they say it wasn't the gigantic catastrophic storm that they had predicted.
Right.
It still seems too devastating to even deal with. And the price tag of it proves that.
Right.
The fact that the insurance industry is claiming they'll get as much as $26 billion in claims from this storm. It's putting it online to be the most expensive storm in history, which is more than Hurricane Andrew in 92, which was about $21 billion in insured losses. The main word we're hearing out of officials and in government and in local law enforcement is saying, be patient,
right.
Don't hurry back to your homes, which is another really awful thing when you think about it, that people know there's devastation. I mean, I was reading accounts of people who were in the Superdome who were saying, all I want to do is see my home.
Right, they just want to see
what... I just want to know what happened to it. And unfortunately, we did get word that 2 people died in the Superdome, although the officials at the Superdome management are not releasing any details of that. We can speculate that it was due to the fact that there were large amounts of people being medically treated, both elderly and invalid people, in the Superdome.
Right, and also that they lost the air conditioning there when the power went out, which certainly didn't help. But no, it is upsetting, and definitely, you know, I think that New Orleans, even more so than a typical area that is affected by a storm like this, is going to have a long, long way to go, because, as we said, New Orleans is below sea level, and the whole region where New Orleans is built is basically, as I understand it, it's been described as a giant bowl.
Right.
It's basically just a bowl that's been filled up with water. It's not like in a typical area where there's places for the water to dissipate. All right, this area was built to hold a giant puddle.
Right.
Basically, unfortunately. And that's what we're seeing right now, and I think it's going to be a long time before that water starts to dissipate.
Well, we will have one of our staff members here at Air America in just a moment. He lived in New Orleans for, I think, about 10 years.
Yeah, Jason Isaac.
So let's you know, bring him in here and have him tell us what New Orleans is like. And why it's facing the problems it's facing right now. We also know that Harrison County in Mississippi was one of the most devastated areas. An estimated 50 people died in that county alone. And that was the place, if you've heard this report, that about 30 people died in one apartment complex in Biloxi.
Right.
A very tragic situation. Also, we've heard reports of at least 3 people dying in Mississippi from fallen trees. And in Alabama, 2 deaths from a traffic accident. As I said, I don't want to make this into a running tally of a death count, because we're just not going to know. We're not going to know for certain how many people were personally affected by this until the rescue effort is over. And we're going to be getting into in a little bit what FEMA and what other aid agencies are doing to help the people of the Gulf Coast region.
Right, right. Absolutely. And like I said, we will be talking with Jason Isaac, but there is some other news going on. We're going to keep you updated on that situation with the hurricane all day long, but we also do want to talk about some of the other things in the news. We know that you're tuning into Air America today. You want to hear about the hurricane, but there's also some other important things going on we want to keep you abreast of. President Bush is now saying, Brendan, he may tap into the Strategic Oil Reserve to try to help to staunch the price of gas, which, as we all know, anyone who has a car, anyone who reads the news really knows that the price of gas has been skyrocketing. It went up about 40% in the past year, a massive, massive increase. And supposedly he's considering tapping into the Strategic Oil Reserve in an attempt to do something about that.
Right, and we've got to get into why now
right.
is he considering this. We'll talk about that. We'll hash that out in the show.
Yeah, he says it's national security. Or he said the reason why he hasn't done it yet, national security, but we're going to explain later in the show why that's bogus.
There are also 2 stories out there that I would rank in the craziest crap I've ever heard.
Oh, man.
The sad part about it is, not a lot of people are just laughing at it, as I did when I read it. Some people are taking it very seriously, and that worries me. So we'll talk about those 2 stories that I put under category of craziest crap I've ever heard that is being taken seriously by a large portion of this country.
Right, right.
Also, Dan, we're going to have a little fun today with a word that a lot of people like.
Yeah.
But a lot of people can't say. We can't actually even say it.
Oh, yeah, we're going to have to tell a whole story about a word in a town named after that word, and we're not going to be able to say what the word is.
Right. Well, I'll say right now, but Kayla, see if you can help me with this. When I say the word is... All right, good. You got that? All right, thanks, Kayla. I appreciate that.
You can't say that.
Right. Okay, so I said it, and as long as we can just do this, I can say the name that the word is... All right. Good.
Right.
So we've established what the word is. And we will try to tell this story later. I hear Kalo groaning because it's his ass that's on the line if this word makes it through the airwaves.
It's a good thing you don't work in that town in Austria,
right,
Kalo.
This town is called this word, and yet in a related story, schools in England are allowing kids to say this word in the classroom. So a little fun with later today. And you know, we'll try to keep our jobs.
Yeah, hopefully that'll work out. If not, tomorrow it could be the Kalo show.
Right. But coming up next, we're going to bring our Air America New Orleans representative in here, Jason Isaac, who some of you might know as the drummer for the Randy Rhoads official band, Afro Skull.
Right. He's also the guy at the end of the news who says, like, news brought to you by CarMax.
Yeah, right, right. Jason, you all recognize Jason. Don't worry. You'll know who he is.
He's like a celebrity of Air America that you don't know his name, but he's a celebrity.
Right. So he'll be in here. He's a New Orleans native, and we're going to find out a little bit more, because we don't know a lot about the city, and we'd like to get some perspective on that.
Yeah.
So right now it is 17 minutes past the hour. I am Brendan McDonald here with Dan Pashman.
Yo.
Chris Lopresto on the board, and we are holding the fort down in Morning's Edition this week. Stay with us. It's Air America Radio.
It's
Rob Zombie, and it says here, when I'm watching the sunrise after a long night of waking the dead and toasting nachos in the microwave, I listen to Mark Maron and Mark Riley. It's Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Past the hour, it's Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. I'm Dan Pashman. Brendan's already laughing at me.
Game over, man. Game over.
That is the level of devotion to our listeners that we have here on Morning Sedition.
The guy's nose is dripping with blood.
Bleeding like a stuck pig.
And I ask him, before we come on the air, I say, can you want me to just take this on the mic? You know, you could just sit out for a second. He's like, no, man, I got this. But there is a wadded up piece of tissue hanging off his face right now.
I'm fine, mate. You can't even see it, can you?
I don't think anybody listening can see it, so yeah. At least we should just
thank God we don't
on.
Have a webcam
right,
here.
Exactly. Well, we want to say good morning to any listeners who can get us on WSMB in New Orleans or WYNK in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Those are the areas that were heavily affected by the Hurricane Katrina that made its way through the Gulf Coast yesterday. And right now we're having sitting in with us our illustrious overnight engineer / board op / all around Renaissance man here at Air America.
Man, is there anything you don't do?
I get around, guys.
Right. This is Jason Isaac, and Jason is also the drummer for Afro Skull, which is the official band of the Randy Rhoads Show. Am I correct?
Yeah, that is correct. And actually, since you mentioned it, I think our next show, which is September 30th at the Parkside Lounge, is going to be a benefit for the Red Cross for hurricane relief in New Orleans.
Oh, wow.
Since the band is of New Orleans.
Right. Now, everyone from the band comes from that area or was living in that area?
Only two of the guys currently in the band now were there. But
you started it there.
The band started
it. This is a jazz band.
Yes.
Jazz rock, or how would you clarify?
Funk. Yeah,
okay.
Whatever.
So, Jason, you lived there for, what, 5 years?
I was there from 97 until 2002.
Okay, and now where is your house where you used to live right now? Is it underwater?
The two apartments that I had during the 5 years, I think, are both okay, actually.
Oh, really?
Those are two of the few areas that didn't. Are not underwater right now.
So explain what the area of New Orleans was that actually is flooded and is going to be very difficult to remedy.
Well, it seems as if, this is what I'm picking up from reading and watching TV, the further east you get, the worse the flooding is. If you're in the suburbs to the west, Kenner and Metairie, not quite as bad. And in New Orleans itself, the uptown areas and the French Quarter got lucky with the flooding, even though there's still trees down and a lot of wind damage and everything. But once you get into the eastern part, go east from the French Quarter, and you get into areas like Treme and some of the poorer areas, St. Bernard Parish, those places are all just completely underwater right now, 12 feet or so.
And, I mean, we pointed this out yesterday of the kind of staggering poverty rate in New Orleans, in Louisiana in general. I mean, you were there. What was it like to you? Is that something that's visible all the time? How this is a city filled with one third people living below the poverty level?
Well, since I was one of those one third, I'd say yes, actually. Yeah, a lot of these areas, I mean, the houses are 100 years old or more, and you know, no more than two floors off the ground, but mostly one story, duplex shotgun houses that have been there for at least 100 years. And those houses, you know, a lot of them are just going to be ruined.
Right. Well, and we also will point out that this is affecting other cities as well along the Gulf Coast. You know, we got that report about Harrison County in Mississippi and how that area has been devastated.
Gulf Shores, Alabama got hit really hard. Slidell, Louisiana, just on the other side of Lake Pontchartrain from New Orleans, is pretty much underwater.
And this is what's made it very important for this emergency response to be well coordinated. And we talked to someone from FEMA yesterday,
right,
the Federal Emergency Management Agency, and found out that they had people already in place. We were surprised, something that surprised me,
yeah,
that they were already there in the cities, in safe havens, as safe as it could get with 145 mile per hour winds. But things that are already have already arrived are baby formula, communications equipment, medical teams, generators, water, ice. This is what the Federal Emergency Management Agency is sending. And the Red Cross is also there and expected to serve about 500,000 meals a day to anyone who's been displaced.
Right.
So, you know, your donations are also going to help out there. 1-800-HELP-NOW is the Red Cross's all-purpose number, and you can direct that to exactly what you want it to go to. They'll direct it to storm relief.
Yeah, you know, and a quick word about the Red Cross, and we're going to mention this again later on, because I think this is an important point. You know, when the Red Cross came out with their reports about Abu Ghraib, conservatives put out a smear campaign against the Red Cross. Now, as if there was anything more classless than that, I mean, they smeared the Red Cross. And now you see what the Red Cross does. All the Red Cross does around the world is help people. It's all they do. That is their only mission. And the conservatives accuse them of being liberal biased, even though Elizabeth Dole was once the head of the Red Cross.
Yeah.
Okay? They smeared the Red Cross. Now, if you're going to say that the Red Cross is a liberal organization, then I say, great.
Yeah,
that's good. I'll take them. You know,
they help people.
Right. That's not an insult.
Right.
All right. If you want to say that the Red Cross is on our side, that they're not conservative, that they're liberal, great. In my opinion, they're nonpartisan. They help everybody.
Right. Well,
but if you want to call them liberal, I'll take them on my team any day of the week.
Well, and they're going to be helping people throughout the Gulf region. And Jason Isaac, thanks for coming in here and telling us what,
thanks, Jason.
What you know about the region. How about, do you have any relatives or friends that are down there now? How are they doing?
No family. I have a lot of friends still in the area. Most of them got out of town before the storm hit. I know a couple decided to stay. And, of course, all the people that I worked with at WSMB and their sister station, WWL, which is like the chief emergency management station for Louisiana. Those people are all there, not really accounted for because there's no phones or electricity right in New Orleans right now.
All
but,
right.
You know,
we'll keep our
hoping everyone's
crossed.
All right.
Real quick, Jason, what's the AfroSkull website?
AfroSkull.com.
There it is.
All right, guys, we are going to be right back with a little clip of Mark and Mark. So you're not going to be without them all morning. They'll be back through clip form.
Yes.
Mark and Mark and comedian Maria Bamford. Coming up, it's 27 past the hour, Morning's Edition on Air America Radio.
Morning's Edition with Mark Maron and Mark Riley on Air America Radio.
Good morning. It's Morning's Edition on Air America Radio. I'm Dan Pashman here with Brendan McDonald.
Oh, sorry.
You all right over there,
yeah,
Brendan?
Fine.
Yeah, it's a little early for that, I think, buddy. But, you know, whatever gets you going, you know. But it's 35 past the hour. It is Morning's Edition on Air America. Brendan and I are here filling in for Mark Maron and Mark Riley. They'll be back next week. But in the meantime, we're holding down the fort. Send us an email. Sedition@airamericaradio.com is the address. Let us know what you're up to and where you're at. And all week long, Brendan, in addition to reporting the news of the day and talking about some fun stuff, we're also playing some of the best clips of Mark Maron and Mark Riley from recent weeks. And we have one of the funniest comedians we've had in our studios in a long time. We got that clip coming up right now. Tell us about it.
Right. It's Maria Bamford, who people might see on Comedy Central from time to time and some of the late night talk shows. But if you're lucky enough to go to a comedy club or see her in person, it's amazing how she does these transitions from these characters that she does. That's primarily her mode of comedy,
right.
Two characters. And, I mean, you'll hear from this clip coming up, Chris Lopresto is not an easy laugh. I mean, he needs things to be really funny in order to get him going. And he is dying on this clip. And part of it, I think, was just watching her make these transitions. And it translates, though, on the radio because you'll hear how quick she is at going from, you know, some kind of hippie, new agey person to, like, her mom.
Right.
But anyway, I'm going to spoil it. Let's just listen right now to Mark and Mark talking to comedian Maria Bamford.
Please welcome Maria Bamford to the show. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me on the program. It's I'm very honored. I hope I have something intelligent to say at
don't
this early
pressure.
Hour. I'd like to say something about politics, but I can't. I do characters.
Yeah.
That's what I do. I speak through other people because my own voice doesn't command the respect and the attention that I believe I deserve. So I have to. have to say it through other people.
I love your characters, and I love the fact that you told us on the break that you decided to get rid of television out of your life.
Yeah. I got rid of the TV because I couldn't stop watching it. It's so wonderful. Everything's so good. You know? The TLC, I mean, is there going to decorate somebody's house again?
You feel like you're doing something when you watch it.
Oh, I feel like I'm accomplishing things. And I know what's going to happen.
I just respect anybody who has to throw something away because they don't have the self-control to not watch it.
That is totally the truth, yeah.
Because I've had to do that in my life. Look, what I wanted, the things I love that you do are these, when you used to have jobs.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
When you used to have a job, and you that boss of yours?
I used to work for a giant corporation because I was a part of the problem, and the corporation doesn't act like they care about you, because I work for a telephone company during September 11th, and then, so afterwards, because we work really hard, they did an employee recognition event, because they cared about us and they loved us. And they wanted us to have extra sandwiches and get a weekend off in Palm Springs. Ooh. And they did a little speech at the end, though. They said, you guys, just big round of applause, everybody. Everyone went to any lengths to help our customers in the Manhattan area. And this year, now let's just brainstorm here. This year, the challenge is, how do we recreate that grief-stricken, terror-driven productivity and channel it into our day-to-day operations? Okay, I'm thinking kidnap my kids and then... I don't know, I'm just spitballing. Feel free to piggyback on any of my ideas.
Oh, God, you kill me.
I've been seeing a therapist.
Yes.
Therapist. Mm-hmm. I can't say it properly because I don't take it seriously. And she told me... how about you sing your anxieties aloud? Let's call your anxieties. Let's call those gremlins. Let's call those gremlins. How about we just call them anxieties? Okay, how about goblins? So I'm getting a lot of help from that. So she made a song for me, and it goes like this. If I keep my ice cube trays filled, I'll be okay. As long as I clench my fists at odd intervals, then the darkness that's within me won't force me to do things I don't want to do that are inappropriately violent. As long as I keep singing this song, I won't turn gay. And God can't kill me. It can't get you if you're singing a song.
Yay. Very nice.
Thank you very much. Thank
Can we
you.
Put that on a disc there, Chris?
Yeah.
Those are words to live by.
Yeah.
Can I? I'm going to be like, it's so weird. I'm so glad that you actually are willing to entertain me, because sometimes I have comedians in here. Like Todd Berry's great with, Todd?
Oh, I love Todd.
I love Todd, too, and we have him on the show a lot. But I'll try to coy him into a bit, and he'll be like, oh, buddy.
Yeah.
Hey, buddy, you're not trying to leave me into one of my own bits, are you, buddy? But what was there, isn't there some other sort of strange gung-ho character that you do?
Oh, let me see.
Is it a neighbor or a sister or an aunt?
I do something where I say, okay. Yeah, I'm not well-spoken. That's the problem. I have to do characters in order to speak well.
Do you do your mom?
I do. My mom said to me recently, honey, when you don't wear makeup, you look mentally ill. And so now when I go home, I'm starting to wear thick green eyeshadow and a line of lipstick around my lips.
Uh-oh.
Baby, look pretty now, mommy. Baby, look pretty now.
Dude, where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Duluth, Minnesota, and oh my God, I get home recently, and you just meet someone from high school, an arch enemy.
Yeah,
you know, just meet him in a retail situation. I saw somebody at Target,
We saw your video. Me and Todd saw your video. It's just in high school. It's you're not funny. You're just weird.
Yeah. Well, comedy's so subjective.
So are you gay? Because a lot of women comedians are gay.
No, I'm not, but I mean, it'd be cool if I was.
That's good, because remember that one time we were at Bible camp, and we all went skinny dipping, and you wouldn't take your shirt off, and I got all grossed out.
Wow.
That didn't really happen, but the point is, the feeling was there.
I refused to go to my high school reunion until... I didn't go to the 10th, and I didn't go to my, I think I just missed my 20th. I won't go because I don't feel like my success is high enough. I wouldn't go to the first one because I hadn't done Letterman, and I wasn't going to do it. I was not going to have people come up to me and go, so what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm doing comedy. Really? Have I ever seen you?
It yeah. never ends. Because then now there's so many dang TV channels that yeah. nobody will ever see, and then they go, you know, like, I mean, you could be...
They see the weirdest ones. The ones that you hated, like the ones that you're like, do I have to do it? Or the ones you did when you were just starting out for, like, a meal.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll do it. No one's going to see it. Everybody sees it.
You weren't you on a thing that was comedy show? Louis Anderson hosted it? It was on at 3 a.m. on this...
Exactly.
Yeah. You seem kind of nervous. Because that was 1993.
That's just so, when you started comedy, you still did temp work.
I did.
I remember you talking about it.
I've been fired a lot. Yeah. I prefer to call it just another stop on my Burning Bridges tour.
Okay.
Whenever you start a new job, isn't it always the same thing in an office? It's always the same thing. Yeah. I always be like,
we do things a little differently around here. It's a bit of a nut house. Hold on your hats. It's going to be a wild ride.
But it never is. It's all the same thing. I've trained people, and it's always like, okay, dude, I'll be training you. And the fax machine's a little tricky. No, seriously, dude, you got to dial 9 to get out. No, a lot of people try to use the fax machine. They say, oh, it's not working. I say, did you dial 9, my friend? Every day we got bagels in the kitchen, but then once a month, Rajiv brings in mini muffins, and it's on a Monday, so guess what that's called? Mini Muffin Monday! Oh, dude, it's boring. You're going to want to kill yourself.
Did you remember the God thing? Are we going to talk about God?
Oh, yeah, God. I didn't used to believe in God because I didn't like the idea of some touch by an angel sitting up there making decisions like, I'm going to put you in a paralyzing diving accident so you can inspire people with watercolors you paint with your feet. My mom believes in God. My mom is close to Jeebus Christmas. And she wears one of those bracelets that says WWJD on it.
What does that mean?
It's what would Jesus do?
Oh, yeah, right.
So
right.
If you're out shopping, you go, oh, crap, what would Jesus buy?
Yeah.
And then get a loaf and a fish. That's it. And my mom is very religious, also very pro-war, pro-Iraq. Because that's what Jesus would do. Smoke them out of their holes like the gentle carpenter. Oh, he only turns the other cheek to grab another can of whoopers. I don't know. I'm trying to believe in something, though, you know? I believe. I'm trying to pray. Every time I pray, though, I feel like I'm just doing this really bad ventriloquist act, you know, like, so God. Hey, yeah! How am I doing in life? Am I doing okay? Yes. Well, good, because sometimes I get scared. You know, I fear the wrath of God and all that. Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to the dark side. Okay, that's not God. That's from Return to the Jedi.
That was Maria Bamford with Mark and Mark. She really came to play that day.
God only turns the other cheek to grab another can of whoop-ass.
It's a great line. And you can get more Maria Bamford stuff at mariabamford.com. And we're going to have her back on the show.
Oh, she was phenomenal.
And we are having a little fun here this morning with that kind of stuff because, you know, we are here to bring you the news, but we also know what you tune in for here on Mornings Edition. You tune in to have a good time. So we're going to have some more good clips with Mark and Mark throughout the show, including coming up one of our Mornings Edition regulars.
That's right.
I believe this is when he stopped by at the Tea Lounge.
Oh, this was classic.
It was Pendejo's first foray into the public.
Yeah, the revolutionary.
The revolution was brought out into the Mornings Edition faithful, and we'll hear what happened coming up next. It is 46 past the hour. I'm Brendan. This is Dan.
Yo.
We're here on Mornings Edition.
Attention, mis hermanos and mis hermanas. This is Pendejo. Viva la revolución! You're listening to Mark and Mark on Morning's Edition on Air America Radio.
One past the hour, it's Morning's Edition on Air America Radio. I'm Dan Pashman. I'm here with Brendan McDonald.
Good morning.
Chris Lopresto is in the house. I almost said in the horse, Chris, but you're in the house.
Yes, I haven't been in the horse in a while.
What?
And that's, of course, the voice of Mark Riley being channeled through our technology here. Mark Maron and Mark Riley will return next Tuesday. For now, we're holding down the fort, reporting the best the news of the day, and also playing some of the best clips of Mark and Mark from recent weeks, including this hilarious clip we have coming up right now, Brendan.
Yeah, well, a lot of people know our regular characters here on Morning's Edition, Lawton Smalls, Cardinal Milfington, and one of them who's grown quite a following, even though he might not be as popular with the ladies as he would like, is the revolutionary who likes to go by the name of Pendejo,
right,
even though he doesn't exactly
know what it means.
What that means. Right. So this was when we had a live broadcast at the Tea Lounge in Park Slope, Brooklyn, and Pendejo actually was in the crowd and stopped by to talk to Mark and Mark.
Hey, it's good to see you, buddy.
Pendejo.
Right, okay, Pendejo. I'm just going to keep calling you that then. Pendejo.
Good, we need to get the name out there for...
For why? What?
For...
Come on.
The revolution!
Okay, so everybody here, Pendejo was in jail. There was a bit of a mix-up at the Puerto Rican Day Parade, but he's out now, as you see. And, you know, you look a little tougher. I got to admit, you look harder.
Thank you, Mark.
Yes.
I noticed it, too. Back off, Brooklyn tea sippers! While I was on the inside, I saw things no man should see. Like Max Cady in the remake of Cape Fear, I became an animal bent on vengeance!
Dude, you were in the holding cell for like 2 hours.
See, Mark, 2 terrible hours.
Okay. All right, so you're hard now, man, and we've established that. So what's next for the revolution?
Well, Mark, yes. My recruiting efforts at my apartment building and at City Bakery weren't as successful as I'd hoped.
So it's still just you?
And Stompers.
Your Shih Tzu.
Who cannot be left alone.
Right.
Anyway, while I was surfing the internet...
Which is probably always.
Yes, pretty much, I guess. Am I telling the story here, or you?
Forgive me, Pendejo. Forgive me.
Online, I read that another Latin revolutionary group that refers to itself as Al-Qaeda.
Hey, Pendejo, the Al-Qaeda actually, Al-Qaeda is actually Middle Eastern, I believe.
Yeah.
Interesting. I suppose now that I wish I had not checked the little box that put me on their mailing list.
That's not your best idea, man, I gotta say.
Anyway, they had a brilliant idea. Recruiting online.
All right, that could work. So where are you going to start? Did you go to some liberal websites or maybe a radical extremist bulletin boards?
Actually?
Yeah.
Nerve.com. Nerve.com will be the apparatus I will use to bring down the neocons.
Hey, you, Pendejo, you know that's a dating site, right?
On the face of it, yes.
All right, so I assume you've written some kind of Nerve profile of yourself?
Yes, as a matter of fact, you can log on to Nerve.com and search Pendejo68. That's Pendejo68. Again, Pendejo.
Okay, all right, they got it. All right. So you're looking for a certain type of revolutionary, right? Is that?
Yes.
Maybe you can tell us what your profile is, what you're looking for, Pendejo.
The type of revolutionary I'm looking for, let's see. Blonde, blue eyes, 5'11 or taller, 112 pounds or less, no exceptions. Independently wealthy, a Virgo, dancer/actress. Interests include lingerie, modeling, and volunteer work. Must also be a nurturing earth mother who enjoys spooning, cuddling, and making banana walnut pancakes on Sunday mornings.
Ooh.
Books read must include the Narnia series, How to Please Your Man, and graphic novels like Constantine. Must love small, noisy dogs who require constant attention. A tolerance for various seasonal skin rashes a plus. And I wouldn't kick her out of bed for playing the clarinet. That's not an innuendo, Mark. I quite enjoy the music of Pete Fountain.
I'm sure you do, Pendejo. So now I can see the how you'd want someone like that, but that kind of sounds less like you're trying to recruit revolutionaries and more like you're trying to get a girlfriend. Am I?
I don't know what you're talking about. This woman would be an excellent recruit.
But you're a very, very lonely revolutionary, aren't you, Pendejo?
See, Mark.
But I got to be honest with you, man. Those are some pretty tight requirements, and I don't really know if that woman exists, Pendejo.
Okay, I suppose I'd be willing to go up to 116 pounds. Oh, Mark, who am I kidding? I've never touched a woman. Are they soft? Do they tremble when you touch them? Do they squeak?
Oh, calm down, man. Just take it easy. You'll find someone. Just be patient, all right? Like a revolution, a relationship can't be built in a day, all right, Pendejo? So maybe Nerve.com isn't the right recruiting platform. You hear? You okay? You dig?
You're right, Mark.
Okay.
Tomorrow, Match.com. I can tell by the pictures alone, they're chubbier, less interesting, and more desperate. Viva la revolucion!
That was Pendejo the Revolutionary, of course, at one of our many successful live broadcasts. Those things are like parties on the radio, Brendan.
3-hour-long parties.
That's right, and we're going to be throwing a huge one next Friday, September 9th, at the New School's Tishman Auditorium. It's on 12th Street between 5th and 6th Aves from 6 to 9 a.m. We'll have former Senator Bob Kerry there. Also, he was also on the 9/11 Commission, one of the most outspoken members of that commission, who did some great work there. And also The Daily Show, Stephen Colbert. We're very excited to have him. He's got a new show coming out called The Colbert Report. He will be there live and in person as well. That's at the New School's Tishman Auditorium, 12th Street between 5th and 6th Avs. And these live broadcasts are just so much fun, Brendan. We are really pumped. Mark and Mark will be back in full effect next Tuesday, and we're taking on the New School next Friday.
And for the rest of the day, we're going to be here hunkered down in the bunker that Mark and Mark are usually sitting in, and we got a lot to go through. We still got plenty of news to report on the hurricane aftermath, plus Bush tapping into the strategic oil reserve. Is it a possibility? Is it going to happen? And before, I talked about two stories that I said fall into category of craziest crap I've ever heard.
Yeah.
So we're going to get into that, and we're also going to have fun with the word.
Yeah, exactly. We'll also have Cindy Sheehan live from Crawford, Texas. We're going to have Dan Gilgoff to tell us more about what's happening after in the aftermath of the hurricane. We'll be back after the turn of the hour. It's 57 past the hour. Morning Sedition, Air America Radio.
Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
No, I'm not. Six past the hour, it's Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. That was Mark Riley being channeled by Brendan McDonald. How are you, Brendan?
Good morning.
And Crystal Presto's here.
I will not fear my meat.
That was Mark Maron. Of course, those guys will be back next week. We're here holding down the fort until they return. And I do want to say a special hello, Brendan, to my fiance, Janie.
Yes.
She's moving to Slovakia for 5 months today. Leaving today.
A bon voyage to Janie, and hope everything is well for the 5 months she's out there and that she has a good adventure.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm excited for her. Obviously, I'm sad that she's going to be gone for that long, but we got engaged a couple weeks ago, so I know she'll be coming back to me. And so I just hope that she's going to have a great trip. I know it's going to be an awesome adventure. And
there's a blues song to be written about this.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah.
You almost did right there.
My girlfriend left to go to Slovakia. Fiance, sorry. But, I'm going to visit her. I counted. It's like 8 weeks and 3 days from today.
Right.
I told her she's got 8 weeks and 2 days to find the best beef goulash in Slovakia.
Okay, all right.
And then she's going to take me there.
She's up to the task.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. She keeps kosher, so, it might be a little tough.
Ooh.
She's gonna have to break the kosher rule to sample goulash for me first when I get there. She'll
have
it all lined up.
That's love.
Yeah, it is. But on a more serious note, we do want to turn our attention to the people on the Gulf Coast who we are still pulling for. They're still trying to recover from the horrible devastation of Hurricane Katrina yesterday, and the full range of the devastation still has yet to be known, Brendan, and we probably still won't know the full level for some days to come.
Right. Well, especially in the matter of fatalities, we know that at least 55 people reported dead, but there are still so many recovery and rescue efforts going on because of the flooding in this, particularly Harrison County in Mississippi,
yeah,
and New Orleans, Louisiana as well. Mississippi is the state right now that's recording the most in the death toll. About 53 people recorded right now, an estimated 50 people dying in Harrison County alone. That whole area has been hit pretty bad, and we are also hearing about how FEMA has directed rescue efforts there, getting baby formula, generators, water, ice, communications equipment, medical teams. The Red Cross is there as well, expecting to serve about 500,000 meals daily to people that have been displaced from their homes. It's just really a full cleanup that has to go on before we can know how many people have been affected and how much money this is going to cost. Right now, we know that the reports are saying within $26 billion, making it the most costly storm in the nation's history.
Yeah, it's very disturbing. And again, we send our best wishes out to the people down there. We are going to be getting into some other news today. Some completely insane, the far right wing, some of these creationists and extreme Christians. You know, we embrace people of all faiths here on Morning Sedition, of course. But there's a small number of people who are way, way off the deep end. And we're going to get in a little later in the show to some of the things that they're doing.
Right. I called it the two stories that fall into the category of craziest crap I've ever heard.
Right. All we have to tell you right now, did you know that they say that dinosaurs were in the Garden of Eden?
Yeah.
There's so much more than that to get into, and we're going to get into it, but it's really going to blow your mind. One thing we're going to have some fun with what word? Yeah, that word.
Yeah.
The word that we're not allowed to say, but there's a town in Austria that we're going to talk about that it's like you couldn't even write it any better, Brendan.
Right. And it's written in a way that we can't even say what is written
right
in this story. We have to use our imaginations and use careful timing of the button. You know, we can allude to it, but we can't say it. So you're going to have to stick with us and try to work your way through this story to find out exactly what this town is called and why it's caused such a uproar.
Exactly. You know, one of the stories we want to get into right now that's could be pretty big news is that they're sort of floating this trial balloon out there that President Bush may actually tap into the Strategic Oil Reserve.
Right.
And, that is a reserve of oil that we have in our country that has been around for a long time. President Clinton tapped into it once during his tenure, and obviously the reasoning being that the price of gas has gotten so extremely high that this might help to alleviate the price somewhat.
Right, and it's the Energy Department that is laying this out there. A quote from an Energy Department spokesman is that certainly the option is on the table, and it's a possibility based on what we've done in the past with other hurricanes.
Right. But they're using the hurricane as the excuse. They're
right.
Going to say, oh, well, the hurricane just happened, and that's why we're doing it
like
now.
Like gas prices were nice and stable before the hurricane
exactly. Shut
down oil production in the Gulf.
Right. Gas prices have actually risen 40% in the past year, thereabouts. But it's really important, Brendan, to understand the impact of tapping the oil reserves and why President Bush has been so reluctant to do it, because he has been pressured to do it before. Why he has been reluctant to do it. When word spread in 2000 that Bill Clinton was even considering tapping the reserve, oil companies dropped the price of gas.
Mm-hmm.
That's because tapping the oil reserve, it's basically, Brendan, it's a shot across the bow of these oil companies. They lower the prices to stop the president from actually providing a new source of oil that would obviously dilute the market. And so oil companies never want the president to tap the reserves. So when the president even seriously thinks about it, they lower their prices. It forces them to lower their prices. And that's exactly why Bush has refused to tap the oil reserves for so long. He's been using the excuse of national security, saying we need those reserves, but it's really just a favor to the energy industry.
Right.
That's the real reason why he has not done it. But the energy industry right now is extorting Americans. They are extorting Americans on a day-to-day basis. The reason why gas prices are so high is simple. Because people keep paying for it. And because our society needs it to function. That's the reason why the price is so high. It's not because oil companies need the money. The CEO of ExxonMobil got a $38 million paycheck last year.
Jeez.
$38 million. Just one guy, the CEO of ExxonMobil, was paid last year. You know why? Because ExxonMobil had a record year.
Yeah, banner year in business.
Banner year. All right, everyone else is struggling to make ends meet in 2004. It was not a great economic year for the vast majority of normal, average, hardworking Americans. But the CEO of ExxonMobil got $38 million because ExxonMobil had such a great year. So they're not short on cash. But yet they keep jacking up the prices because we keep paying for it. And as long as Americans keep needing oil and keep paying for it, the price will keep going up. The only reason Bush is considering tapping the oil reserve now is that his approval ratings keep going down.
Right. And, you know, I think that what's interesting is this has come about because, as you said before, they're pinning this on the hurricane.
Right.
The hurricane, though, has helped open our eyes to a lot of things.
Right.
It's helping us realize that, and I mean, I'm not saying that we didn't think of these things before, but as we said yesterday, it took a hurricane for the vast majority of Americans to look at a city like New Orleans and say, wait, a third of that city lives below the poverty line? You know, it took a hurricane to see the National Guard being employed in a rescue and recovery, an emergency operation.
The kind of operation they're supposed to
be
doing.
This is what we really need the National Guard for, and now we see the effects of the burden we've placed on the National Guard through this administration's policies. Now, obviously, the National Guard needs to be able to function in times of war and in times of disaster at home. But how are we really going to make sure that the ranks are filled when we're shipping them overseas to die in an Iraq war that we have still not accounted for the reason? How is that going to be a proper recruiting tool to make sure the next time there is a major disaster that it can be adequately staffed and assisted by the National Guard? You know, it doesn't sound like the most effective recruiting method to say, join the National Guard, you may get sent to Iraq.
Right.
And then when we need people to be in the Superdome herding refugees in and out, we're not going to have those people.
It's exactly right. And a lot of the new they have a brand new recruiting drive for the military and for the National Guard. They spent $350 million to a PR firm for a whole new advertising campaign that doesn't mention Iraq once.
Right. Well, you think that's a surprise?
Right. Right.
This is why we need to look into stories like a hurricane story where you'll see on television somebody like some network like CNN or Fox will spend all their money and all their resources into having people on the scene, being windblown, screaming into the camera that the rain is stinging them, but they're there and they're reporting. And really the real stories lurk right beneath the surface. And they bubble up, and we really have to pay attention to them in addition to feeling sorrow and keeping our hearts and minds with people affected by the hurricane. We have to look at the true aftermath of a major catastrophic event like this.
You're right, Brendan. And in just a minute, we're going to get a little more into one group that is at the very heart of the relief effort, and it's a group that conservatives very recently were smearing. They had an organized campaign against a group that is now fundamental towards helping feed people who have no food along the Gulf Coast right now. And that group was considered an enemy of conservatives in spite of all the good work they do. We're going to tell you all about that when we come back at 16 past the hour. This is Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
You're listening to Morning Sedition with Mark Maron and Mark Riley.
No, we're not homosexual, but we are willing to learn.
Air America Radio.
The hour Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. I'm Dan Pashman. I'm here with Brendan McDonald.
Morning.
Chris Lopresto is in the house. We're filling in for Mark and Mark till they get back next week. Hey, drop us an email. Sedition@airamericaradio.com is that address. Also, check us out next Friday, September 9th, at the New School. We'll be doing a live broadcast at the Tishman Auditorium, 12th Street between 5th and 6th Ave. It's going to be pretty awesome. But speaking of pretty awesome, Brendan, we got a special package, a special present from REM's manager.
Yeah,
tell us about
that. It's not every day that REM sends you unreleased music and says, here's a present for you.
I know, seriously.
Go ahead, use it.
We're
REM,
awesome.
You know, one of our favorite bands here on the show, who we've talked to Michael Stipe before, and Mike Mills as well. The gentlemen were kind enough to send us their song called Permanent Vacation.
Right, their newest tune. It's not out yet.
And I think that you probably have a sneaky suspicion as to who this song is about, being that they wrote this and recorded it in August of 2005.
Yeah.
The song Permanent Vacation. And why don't we actually play a little clip right now? It'll give people a taste of Permanent Vacation by R.E.M. I'm on a permanent vacation, nothing left to do. I want a revelation, nothing left to prove. I could take it with me, or leave you all behind. I got some kind of feeling, I'm burning out my mind. Okay, okay, that's enough.
That rocks. There's
a little taste for people, because it is an unreleased song, and they gave it to us with confidence. You know, I'm going to check, though, Dan. I think people want to hear the whole thing.
Yeah.
Let's see what we can do, and let's try to play it tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Right here on Morning's Edition. We'll play an unreleased REM song, Permanent Vacation, sent to us by REM. So
yeah.
we'll get the okay on that, and we'll play it for you live tomorrow before Bush ends his permanent vacation in Crawford.
Right. He'll be ending his permanent vacation in Crawford, but even in the White House, he's still on a vacation.
It is permanent.
If from nothing else, he's at least on vacation from reality. But we do want to talk a little bit more about the situation on the Gulf Coast, and specifically the International Red Cross. I want to talk about this group. The International Red Cross is devoted to helping people. That is all they are devoted to. They help people who need help throughout the world. They are dispensing 500,000 meals a day to victims of the hurricane here in the United States of America. Free 500,000 meals a day. This same Red Cross, when they reported on the situation at our prison in Abu Ghraib, they called it tantamount to torture, which in my opinion is understating. That's an understatement, because it was, as far as I'm concerned, it was blatant torture. It wasn't tantamount to torture. They were hedging their bets. But because they used that phrase, the right wing went after the Red Cross. They tried to smear the Red Cross. They said the Red Cross was a liberal organization, even though Elizabeth Dole, who is a Republican senator now, whose husband, Bob Dole, we all know, is a longtime senator from Kansas who ran for president. Elizabeth Dole used to be the head of the Red Cross. But no, Republicans, conservatives, they insisted that the Red Cross was a conservative group because they didn't like what they were saying about the truth about what was happening in Abu Ghraib. So they smeared the Red Cross. They questioned their motives. They called them a liberal group. But let me tell you something. If a group that sends 500,000 meals a day to hurricane victims is a liberal group, great. If a group that helps people around the world, whose sole purpose in the world is to help people in need, if that makes them liberal, great. I'll take the International Red Cross on my team any day of the week.
Right, and the number to donate to the Red Cross is 1-866-GET-INFO. You can call that number, and they are taking donations, and they go to whatever you want it to go to. You can choose whether you want it to go to hurricane relief or some other area of aid to people that are less fortunate. I agree with your sentiments, Dan. I am right there with you on the Red Cross, and it's only through people like you and me and everyone out there listening who can help that group continue to do the great things it does.
Right, and it's important to remember that the Red Cross was allowed into our prisons in Iraq,
yeah,
by the Bush administration.
And they just didn't like the answers that they had for them.
Exactly. But it was also through the Red Cross that we found that 70 to 90% of the people in Abu Ghraib were completely innocent.
Right. And I agree. I would like to have them on my team, because you look at what the other team is.
Right.
We have this story here. Now, yesterday we talked about a little goofy incident that happened in Crawford amongst war protesters among Bush supporters, both fighting, not realizing that they were both Bush supporters. Well, we got this report that came out over the weekend, but we only saw it yesterday, and it is even worse than that little silly argument that was had between the Bush supporters who didn't understand what each other's signs meant. This is a guy from Texas walked into one of these "You Don't Speak for Me, Cindy Sheehan" rallies,
right,
with a sign that said, "How to Wreck Your Family in 30 Days by Bitch in the Ditch, Cindy Sheehan." Okay, very extreme sign. There were a bunch of people there that are organizers of this event, very media-savvy organizers, that tried to stop this man from having this sign. They turned around to any cameras that were there that said, "To all the media here, this sign is not representative of the crowd on hand." And then some of the crowd actually went over to the guy and started shaking his hand.
Right, exactly.
That is representative of the crowd. If a guy walks in with a sign like that and people in the crowd go to shake his hand, that is representative of your crowd. That is representative representative of your cause, that is representative of your party. So don't forget that this organization, that this group, this effort to smear Cindy Sheehan is still fueled by the hate, by the intolerance, by the bigotry, and by the downright intellectually bankrupt nature of conservatives. And it rears its head every day in stories that we're seeing. Here is yet another example. We're going to talk to Cindy Sheehan as we've done every day.
Yes.
We're going to talk to her later on and find out more about what's happening down there in Crawford with these ugly, ugly people.
Yeah, we got the Red Cross on our team. They got those guys on their team. I'll stick with our team. It's 27 past the hour, morning's edition. We got Lawton Smalls from Planet Bush coming up in a minute. Air America Radio.
Morning Tradition with Mark Maron and Mark Riley on Air America Radio.
We're back. It's Morning's Edition on Air America Radio. I'm Dan Pashman here with Brendan McDonald.
Good morning.
And Chris Lopresto's here. Brendan and I are the senior producers of Morning's Edition. Chris here is the technical director. Usually we're mostly behind the scenes. This week we're stepping out front and center to fill in for Mark Maron and Mark Riley. But do not fear. They'll be back next Tuesday. But we're going to hold down the fort until then, Brendan. And one of the things that we're doing in a few minutes, we're going to talk about an absolutely hilarious story out of Europe about a town that we can't even say the name of the town on the radio.
The town is
F***ing. But you guys aren't going to believe the problems this town in Austria is having. They really ought to just give it up and change the name, but they're being...
Change it to, sucking?
Yeah, that would be much better. But we're going to have some fun with that story in a little bit. Right now, we want to, all week long, in addition to reporting the news of the day and having some fun on our own, we're also playing some of the best moments with Mark Maron and Mark Riley of the recent weeks. And we have a great clip of one of our favorite characters who you will see in person if you come to our live broadcast next Friday at the New School. It's Lawton Smalls from Planet Bush.
Our Planet Bush Bureau Chief, Lawton Smalls, who in this clip was at CBGB's,
right,
the legendary rock club, which we will know the fate of at the end of this week.
Right.
CBGB's in danger of being closed down due to a dispute between the landlord and the owner of CBGB's. And we'll know by the end of the week whether or not their lease was renewed.
We will.
So right now, though, we're going to hear Lawton Smalls appearing at the hallowed rock club halls as he talked to Mark and Mark at our live broadcast on August 5th.
Since our president is openly operating in a different reality, we think it's important that Americans know what's happening in his alternate universe. Luckily, as you all know, we have a staffer who lives in that world. So here now is Planet Bush Bureau Chief, Lawton Smalls.
Hey, good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Lawton.
Mark, when people use the expression God forsaken, they're talking about this neighborhood. What are we doing here?
What's wrong with it, Lawton?
I feel like I need disinfectant and an axe handle just to walk on this block. I mean, you know what would help that sad little club next door?
What?
A bulldozer, okay? Somebody ought to level that thing and put up... I'm right. Come on. And put up something useful like a lady footlocker or Walmart or something like that. A Cinnabon. You know what CBGB should stand for? Couldn't you build a giant Bennigan?
Oh, no.
Because you could. Right here, this would be a beautiful place.
All right. Bennigan. Okay, Lawton. All right.
Onion rings.
So, buddy, I heard that you used their connections here at the show, and you went and saw a little screening last night.
Yes, I did. A media event. I went to see the Dukes of Hazzard. And, you know, finally, a movie where people talk like real Americans. So I was excited about that. One of the most disappointing nights of my life, Mark.
Wow. What
disappointing.
What happened, Lawton?
I agree with Crazy Cooter on this one. Sleazy liberal Hollywood producers have besmirched the integrity, honor, and good, clean family fun of the Dukes of Hazzard. Just dunked it right in filth, Mark.
Oh, come on. What do you mean?
Filth.
What are you talking about?
All right. Daisy Duke.
Yeah.
She's played by this Jessica Simpson woman. Now, I'm not familiar with her work, which I assume is servicing lonely truck drivers along I-70. In this movie, you see more of her gluteals than a gynecologist. I felt like they should have given me a speculum up there. Daisy Duke, co-opted by the gay agenda.
Oh,
you can just see it. Big as life up
All right. What else?
Uncle Jesse.
Yeah.
Willie Nelson, dope fiend, all right? His eyes were red through the whole thing. I bet he doesn't even remember making this film.
Oh, come on, come on.
Stoned.
Come on, let it out. Let it out, buddy.
All right, Bo Duke.
Yeah.
Johnny Knoxville. And for a second, I thought, hey, great name, buddy. Knoxville.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And then I found out he was on Jackass. That's one of them shows where they abuse their private parts with a staple gun for fun. And they think that's funny. Debased and perverted.
Oh, come on, Lawton. Come
Luke
on.
Duke. Sean William Scott, he was in all those American Pie movies where the nasty kid put his whatchacallit into baked goods. Now, come on. Couldn't they have found some nice people at Bob Jones University to be in this?
Come on.
Filthy. Come filth on. And depravity.
Uh-huh. So, wait, let's just talk for a minute. What about Burt Reynolds? I mean, he's in it. Surely you gotta love Burt Reynolds.
Well, I did, but Boogie Nights killed that movie.
Oh, come on.
Porn.
Come on.
Broke my heart because I love Smokey and the Bandit, all of them.
The movie, the dudes, it just looks like a dumb comedy. What are you so upset about, Lauren?
It mocks the Southern people, and it demeans Southern culture, Mark. Most of the time, liberal Hollywood just ignores us. Stop that. They ignore us or they talk down to us. They think the way we talk is funny. Well, you tell me, Mr. Comedian, what is funny about the way Southerners talk? Is this funny to you?
You really want to know, or...
I'm moving on. And when Hollywood finally comes off their high horse to finally make a film about our people, it's nothing but the crudest, most vulgar stereotypes. Look at Hustle and Flow,
what?
Mark. I've been to Memphis. I've never seen any pimps, Mark. And I do not listen to crunk.
Whoa.
All right? Hey. Toby Keith.
Lawton, all comedy.
Toby
I got to be honest with you. All good comedy
yeah,
is based,
tell me about
is
comedy.
Based at least on one, on just some truth, my friend. There is truth.
Truth.
Mm-hmm.
Based on truth. Now, what are you saying?
Well, even a movie like Dukes of Hazzard is based on some real behavior, some genuine regional tendencies. Maybe you're unhappy about the movie because it was a little too real for you.
too real?
Yeah, maybe it hit a nerve, Lawton.
Too real?
Yeah. How about that, buddy?
It was so real. That movie was like a documentary of my life. I have an Uncle Jesse. He is a pothead, okay? My sheriff growing up, his name, Boss Hogg. Just like my life. If this is the way we... Mark, mm-hmm. If this is the way we really look, then we're morons. Okay? I don't think I've ever been so scared to see a movie before. I'm looking up there and I'm going, ah, no! Not my family! Get off that screen!
Oh, man.
Just good old boy.
Oh,
no. Never meaning no.
No, wait, don't sing, man. Please. It was just a movie, buddy. You
got
to detach a little, man. All right,
only
not,
way they know how.
Wait. Not every Southerner is like the Dukes of Hazzard, okay? Just take it easy. Not even close. All right, buddy? Okay.
It scared me, Mark.
Okay, buddy. But just pull it together. We're on the radio here. You know that. You all right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You know, at least they could have gotten that Jessica some shorts that covered her whole caboose. You know, that booty was right 20 feet high and right in my face. I felt violated
by
that
thing.
I said, take it off.
Goodbye,
Lawton. Take
it off. Goodbye. I've had enough.
God loves you.
Yes.
Deal with it.
I'm trying.
Making their way. The only way they know how.
That's Lawton Smalls from Planet Bush with Mark Maron and Mark Riley back at CBGB's. In early August. And if you want to see Lawton live in person, come see us with Mark and Mark and Senator Bob Kerry, The Daily Show's Stephen Colbert. We'll all be at the New School's Tishman Auditorium next Friday morning, September 9th, on 12th Street between 5th and 6th Avenues.
And you know, Lawton, Dan, he reminds me of some of the people in our next two stories, which I have been calling all morning
yes.
The craziest crap that I've ever heard.
The evolutionists, or I'm sorry, the creationists are claiming the dinosaurs.
Sure.
Now, anyone who knows if you took first grade science, you know or should know that dinosaurs are one of the best possible pieces of evidence for evolution. Okay. But they're going to try to convince you otherwise. There are creationists building museums around the country. There's one that they're putting up off Interstate 10 in Pensacola, Florida, called Dinosaur Adventureland, which on the surface of it sounds like a fun park for kids,
sure.
Right? Hey, kids love dinosaurs. They love adventure. Dinosaur Adventureland, right? Well, the motto of Dinosaur Adventureland, where dinosaurs and the Bible meet.
Huh.
All right. Dinosaurs and the Bible meet. These people are really off the deep end, Brendan. One of their quotes, this guy says, of dinosaurs, they're used to teach people that there's no God, and they're used to brainwash people. Evolutionists get very upset when we use dinosaurs. That's their star.
That infuriates me, though.
They figured us out, Brendan.
The infuriating thing about that is this idea that evolutionists equal atheists.
Right.
Oh, it's just, it's enraging, because I look at this story and I say that is ridiculous nonsense, you know, like that obviously we can move ourselves beyond this. We've moved ourselves beyond this in many years of history. And to have a guy say that Dinny the roadside dinosaur is proof of dinosaurs existing in the Bible is obviously crazy crap. Now, where I get sad and angry and frustrated is the fact that we are in some kind of weird zone in this country right now where this is okay, acceptable, tolerated, and even given some serious thought.
It really is maddening, Brendan. I mean, look, you're a theology major, okay? So you're more of an expert in this kind of stuff than I am. But these people are trying to say that dinosaurs were around at the same time of Adam and Eve. In the Garden of Eden. That's what they're saying. Now, you are very familiar with the Bible as a theology major. Please enlighten me. Are there any dinosaurs in the Bible?
Unless their names are Abraham, Sarah, and Jacob, and they are never referenced as being actual dinosaurs, I would have to say no.
Right.
And something I always took comfort in was the difference between the Christian extremists here in this country and, say, like Muslim extremists in the Middle East, is the fact that we had no problem in this country openly rejecting our extremists.
Right.
You know, they are extreme, and we put them under that category. We say, ha-ha, foolish person who says there are dinosaurs in the Bible. You know, that's an extreme point of view. But that tide seems to be approaching some weird undercurrent that doesn't make me feel very comfortable. When a president tells America we need to give serious consideration to both sides of the evolution debate, when one side is founded in science and fact and the other is founded in superstition and fantasy, it's frightening. And quite frankly, I'm fed up with it. I'm sick of being told to consider and tolerate things that are just plain wrong. Okay? Women not being allowed to drive cars is wrong, no matter what religion says it's true. Telling people that the Grand Canyon was created by Noah's flood is wrong. Equating evolution with atheism is wrong. And I don't care if it's your belief, it's stupid and wrong, and I'm not going to tolerate it anymore. It's got nothing to do with religion or your faith. It has to do with right and wrong, and you're wrong. And there's nothing in any religious doctrine that puts evolution at odds with any other God-given order of the universe. They are not mutually exclusive. And the real truth is, Dan, this whole debate boils down to sour grapes, all right? You know, religious fundamentalists can't get over the fact that something was factually presented to them that forced them to re-examine and realize that their small, myopic system of beliefs might not actually be fact-based. It might be faith-based, and that's fine, but it is definitely not fact-based. And that infuriates them to the point where they are now saying, dinosaurs prove that we're right.
Not only that, but they're making things up that weren't in the Bible. Now, again, I'm not an expert, Brendan, but as I understand it, it's wrong to change what the Bible says.
Right.
All right, so they are saying that things happened in the Garden of Eden that it doesn't say in the Bible.
Or that Noah had two dinosaurs on his ark.
They're saying that. They're saying that Noah had dinosaurs on the ark. All right, and they call themselves the real believers?
The intelligent designers.
That's intelligent design? I mean, a scientist who doesn't believe in evolution is like a pope who doesn't believe in God.
Right.
All right, what's next? Are we going to start questioning gravity? Do we want to question whether the Earth really revolves around the sun? Should we return to the debates of Galileo's day? I mean, is that what's next, Brendan? But, Brendan, there's good news.
What is it?
I have some good news for you, Brendan. Evolution is real. And these anti-science, right-wing whack jobs are very, very stupid. Just give it time.
Okay.
Maybe let evolution take its course. It works slowly.
Right.
But it will work. And slowly but surely, these dumbasses will be phased out of existence.
All right. Well, I can take
have
some
faith.
Hope. I can take some hope in that, and knowing that I, you know, fully put my heart in the science of evolution, I think you might be right, Dan. And when we come back, we're going to talk about another bunch of dumbasses
oh my God.
That fall into the second bunch of craziest crap I've ever heard, story of the day.
Yeah, I heard there's a state that might secede, Brendan.
Right, only if these crazy guys get their way. So we're going to see what their plan is to take over a state in the name of God.
Right.
That's coming right up here on Morning's Edition. It's 48 past the hour.
Hi, this is Dar Williams. After a long night of electric guitar solos, pyrotechnics, trashed hotel rooms, and bad eating, I listen to Morning's Edition with Mark Maron and Mark Riley on Air America Radio.
Past the hour, it's Morning's Edition on Air America Radio, and that music you hear is R.E.M.'s new song, Permanent Vacation. It's not released yet. It's
unreleased
top secret.
R.E.M. song, we're playing it.
That's right, because their manager sent it to us early, advanced copy, because we're Air America!
Very cool.
And now, we're badass.
We're also very, very riled up this segment.
Yeah, we blew up the phone lines there, Brendan.
Yeah, because, you know, we were just talking about these creationists and how they're trying to convince people that there are dinosaurs in the Bible and how dinosaurs disprove evolution.
When in fact they prove it, right. But go on.
And we also have this story about this group called the Christian Exodus.
Oh, yeah.
That I say is story number two in the craziest crap I've ever heard.
Yeah.
And these are a bunch of, and these are not just, you know, uneducated people. This one guy is an oil baron,
right,
who is leading this charge. And their plan is to go from place to place in America and take it over through the Christian agenda.
Yeah, well, they said Christian Exodus activists plan to take control of sheriff's offices, city councils, and school boards. Eventually, they say they will control South Carolina.
That's where they're starting.
Right.
They've gone to South Carolina.
Right.
They picked to start. Now, we have a lot of listeners in South Carolina listening out of Charleston.
Right.
We have it is a good state, you know, despite some things throughout its history, it has overcome them. We don't think the good people of South Carolina want to be taken over, per se, but this group, Christian Exodus, says, quote, if necessary, we will secede from the Union.
Yeah.
To which my answer is, sorry, South Carolina, but good.
Yeah.
You know, go ahead. If you guys want to secede, then our tax money in a state like New York, where the majority of our money is going out there to a state like South Carolina or a state like Montana,
right,
to help you pave roads.
Right.
To help you have phone lines.
You know those nice roads you're driving on down there in South Carolina? We paid for those roads, so I hope you're enjoying it. But I agree, Brendan. Let them go. And I got a plan for it. We're going to take that money that we here in New York and California and Massachusetts and the blue states have been sending down to the red states to pay for all the stuff they have down there. We're going to use that money to transport the right-thinking, and by right-thinking I mean left-thinking, people in South Carolina to freedom.
Right.
And then, Christian Exodus, take it away. You
right.
can have South Carolina.
And then we'll send them to Boca or something. Now, Dan, I think we're being told we have to make a correction here.
Okay.
We have a caller on the line. Dale from New Jersey, listening on XM, says there are dinosaurs in the Bible, and I feel a little silly for saying that there aren't. Dale,
what were you thinking, Brendan?
Explain this to me, please.
There are two references to dinosaurs in the Bible.
But now, the word dinosaur? It appears
no, it doesn't actually say the word dinosaur itself, but they make reference to two animals which are just not around today.
Well, they also, are you what book are you talking about? Book of Job? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, Book of Job.
Now, in the Book of Job, he makes reference to saying that I am the brother of dragons. Is that what you're talking about?
Pretty much.
Right. So this was interpreted as dragon.
Right.
Which we know doesn't exist, correct?
Right.
Now, have dragons ever existed as far as you know, Dale?
Well, if you consider someone that just looked at it.
But Dale, here, wait, Dale, let's read the quote of the dinosaur quote in question.
Let's hear
this
that.
Is verse 30, chapter 30, verse 29 of the Book of Job. I am a brother to dragons and a companion to owls. You don't think that might be like some poetry?
I'm referring to one where they're talking about a leviathan and something else. The leviathan is theorized to be a plesiosaur.
Okay. Theorized by who? Look, it's very simple here.
Dale, it also says in the Book of Job that his breasts are full of milk. I mean, I think the science was a little sketchy back then. Yeah. Wouldn't you say so?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, but so I think
it's kind of a Go ahead.
Yeah, the point is, Dale, that the word dinosaur is not in the Bible. There are no dinosaurs in the Bible. Just because you
there
want...
There could be sea monsters in the Bible, right. And that doesn't make it effing so.
Right, exactly. Just because you want that reference to dragons to mean dinosaurs doesn't make it so. As Brendan said, just because you can't deal with the fact that evolution has been proven unequivocally true does not mean that you can make things up. It does not mean that you can write words into the Bible that weren't there.
They've actually illustrated that verse that he's talking about. Canst thou put a hook into his nose or bore his jaw through a horn? Canst thou draw out a leviathan with a hook? They've made a big picture of that, based on what was thought at the time that he was talking about. It looks like something out of Lord of the Rings. I mean, when this was painted in 1864, that's what they thought it was.
Right.
A huge dragon, a serpent. Well... Anyway, we're going to be coming back and talking to Cindy Sheehan here on Air America. We're also going to update you on the Hurricane Katrina's aftermath. And we're also going to deal with the town of in Austria. This is Air America Radio. I'm Brendan. This is Dan. Morning Sedition, 57 past the hour.
Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Good morning. It's 6 past the hour. This is Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. My name is Dan Pashman. I'm here along with Brendan McDonald.
Morning.
Chris Lopresto making all the magic happen over there on the board. How are you, Chris?
I'm good.
We're filling in for Mark Maron and Mark Riley. They will return next Tuesday. We have Cindy Sheehan live from Crawford, Texas on the phone in just a moment. But first, we want to quickly bring you up to date on the situation with Hurricane Katrina.
Right. The Gulf Coast states are really trying to battle back this morning. And now the mayor of Mississippi, the governor of Mississippi has said that it may have actually killed up to 80 people in the county of Harrison, which is where Biloxi lies. And we already know that they predict about 30 dead in one apartment complex in Biloxi. Really terrible devastation there. And the FEMA, Federal Emergency Management Agency, already on the scene in all three states, Louisiana, Alabama, and Mississippi, providing generators, water, ice, baby formula. The Defense Department has actually sent communications equipment and medical teams. And as we reported earlier, the Red Cross is going to be serving 500,000 meals a day to people who have been displaced in those areas. And you can go on the AirAmericaRadio.com homepage for a link to the Red Cross. It's also, you can go there right now. And there's a phone number on there that I just had in front of me and I've lost.
I think it's 1-800-HELP-NOW.
Help Now, yes. And,
is the number.
And we will continue to encourage people to donate because that's how the American Red Cross survives and strives. And is able to help people, and they still haven't rescued all the people that they need to rescue.
Right, still a lot of people trapped in their attics, trapped on their roofs.
So our hearts and minds continue to be with the people of the Gulf Coast, and the Gulf Coast states, and we will continue to monitor that rescue situation.
Absolutely, but right now the right wing would love to see our next guest go away, but fortunately for us, she's just getting warmed up. Tomorrow she embarks on a bus tour that will eventually take her to Washington, D.C., and she joins us once again from Crawford, Texas. Good morning, Cindy Sheehan.
Good morning, guys. How you doing this morning?
Good. How are you?
I am doing great.
Good. You're getting ready for the big tour?
Yes. I actually am only going to be on it till we go to Tom DeLay's office, and I have to jump off because I already had commitments in September. But I'll be meeting everybody back in D.C. on the 23rd of September. So I think it's real exciting, and we're kicking off our Camp Casey to Congress.
Well, that sounds great, Cindy.
And, you know, we're not going to let them off the hook. And we're not going to let George off the hook either. We're going to keep trying to hold him accountable, too. But that's terrible, terrible news from Louisiana. I don't get to watch the news, so I don't really know what's going on. But, oh, my heart goes out to those people.
Yeah, the images that we're seeing are really profound. And it's really pretty devastating for an area that's so racked by poverty in the first place.
Right. Well, isn't it just... you know, didn't even put a crimp in George Bush's day yesterday.
Right. Well,
you know, he got to go play golf and, you know, just have a nice time.
Well, I think if soldiers dying in Iraq doesn't interrupt his vacation, right. A hurricane is hardly like to.
Well, what you said yesterday, Cindy, has really stuck with us throughout the day, the fact that soldiers are going to continue to die in Iraq because so many have already died. It is a self-fulfilling prophecy. Mm-hmm. And I really don't see any way that there is a way for the president to back down now, unless people like yourself and groups who are on the same page with you and people like us here at Air America keep the pressure on to keep raising these questions and saying, why are we doing this? What is that noble cause?
Well, I heard yesterday on CNN, they're still saying that I want to meet with the president to tell him to bring the troops home. No. You know, of course, right. I believe that, but I want to meet with him to find out what is the noble cause.
Right. Well, that's one of those false either-ors that they've set up with you, where it's saying, well, you either think that you want the troops to stay there and finish the mission, or you're with Cindy Sheehan and you want the troops to come home. And
right,
and the
right.
mainstream press, unfortunately, has bought that hook, line, and sinker and is throwing it out there every day.
Well, bought it. They're propagandizing
right.
it, you
well,
know, and
now you're,
they're spreading the false things. Then why don't they ask him? Why, instead of saying, you know, are you going to meet with Cindy Sheehan, why don't they say, what is the noble cause? You know, the press are American. Most of them are American, too. You know, do they agree with this killing and this immorality?
They have been so scared, Cindy, into thinking that they have to toe the line. The corporate media is nothing but a joke in this country right now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you have some stuff going on there in Crawford today, though, as it is your second to last day there.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about what's going on at Camp Casey 1 and 2?
I can't believe I'm sad to leave. It has really been amazing. Well, today we're just going to do the normal stuff, you know, that we do every day, and interviews and press events. And then we're going to have a dinner for our volunteers. There's people who came out the entire time, and they've worked their butts off, from shuttling people back and forth from the Peace House to Camp Casey, to cooking, to running the camp, to keeping things clean. And it just has turned into an immense operation that is run just on love and volunteers. And so we're going to do that tonight. And today, after the press event, we're going to pull up the crosses at Camp Casey 2. I believe Camp Casey 1 is going to continue. The veterans are going to stay.
Really? They're going to leave,
yes.
leave the crosses there?
And I think they're going to leave the crosses there, and they're going to stay until Bush brings the troops home, which I think is marvelous. They're
yeah.
going to turn into winter soldiers, they said. So
yeah.
it's just
Cindy,
something that's not going to die, and it's not going to go away, and he's going to have to, you know, bring the troops home, and, you know, he's going to have to quit playing dictator and king and start, you know, realizing he's our employee. We pay his salary, and if this is a democracy, then, you know, he must bring our troops home.
That's right, Cindy. We agree with that, and I know that you're heading, or this bus tour is taking off tomorrow. The website for people who are interested is bringthemhomenowtour.org.
Right.
What can our listeners who want to support the Bring Them Home Now Tour do to help?
Well, we, of course, need donations, and go on the website and see if it's going to stop in or near your town and come out and support us at the rallies. And we're going to stop in congressional offices along the way. We're going to stop in Delay's on Thursday.
Right, so. Tom Delay in Sugarland, Texas.
Yeah, so amazing that I said in a press conference the other day that we were going to make him the first stop, and before we even called his office to request an appointment, he had put out a statement saying that he wouldn't meet with us. because, you know, if he doesn't support giving the terrorists a timeline, you know, for withdrawal. So, yeah, so...
Right, because that's why we went there in the first place, was,
right.
Because
right,
all those
exactly.
terrorists lining up waiting for a timeline from us.
Right.
Exactly.
Well, Cindy, look, it's been a real great month for peace in America.
It has.
And we're going to talk to you for one more day, and then we're not going to become strangers either. We're going to keep following the... the Bring Them Home Now tour as it rolls on, and we look forward to our final conversation with you from Crawford tomorrow.
And Camp Casey to Congress.
Absolutely.
That's right.
That's going to be a big campaign. You guys don't want me on Thursday just to tell you what I had for breakfast?
You know what? We think by Thursday, we're going to let you sleep in.
Yeah.
You know, okay. It's in the 7 o'clock hour in Crawford right now. Maybe you can wait till about 7:30 before you wake up.
Okay. Thanks, you guys.
All right.
Thanks,
Cindy Sheehan, everybody from Crawford, Texas, and she is on the penultimate day of Camp Casey down in Crawford.
That's right. You know, and one of the guys who was most vicious and most offensive in his smearing and attacking of Cindy Sheehan was Bill O'Reilly, who questioned whether Cindy's actions really honored her son's memory, which, of course, what the hell does he know about her son? But Bill O'Reilly was truly offensive. And we have, coming up in just a moment, what gets my personal vote for the funniest thing that's ever happened on Morning's Edition, the single funniest comedy bit that's ever been executed, and it involves Bill O'Reilly.
And it really involves the genius of Marc Maron.
Right.
All of you who miss Marc Maron out there, we're going to follow up with something that is pretty brilliant of his.
It really is a classic moment, and stick around for that. It's 16 past the hour. You're here with Dan and Brendan. It's Morning's Edition on Air America Radio.
Morning'sEdition.com. Our guests, our comedy, your blog. MorningsEdition.com, Air America Radio.
It is 20 minutes past the hour. You're listening to Morning's Edition on Air America Radio. How are you today? I'm Dan Pashman. I'm here with Brendan McDonald.
That's right.
Chris Lopresto. We're holding down the fort until Marc Maron and Marc Riley return next Tuesday. We're going to have some fun this segment. We also want to let you know we have a clip of Marc and Marc with comedian Jim Gaffigan coming up in just a few minutes. That is hilarious. But right now we want to play for you this clip from a few months back. Remember back, Brendan, when Bill O'Reilly, that Fox News blowhard, got himself into some trouble for sexually harassing a former lover.
Right, and he talked about rubbing her up and down with loofah,
right,
and, which he called falafel at
right.
the time.
Right, he meant to say loofah, but he said right. falafel.
Those transcripts were the best thing that ever happened to us.
They were classic. They were really classic. And, of course, you know, he got sued, and then the people at Fox News were nice enough to pay off the woman who sued him. He didn't even have to pay the payout.
Right. Well, so now when you see Bill O'Reilly smearing Cindy Sheehan with all the integrity he pretends to bring to the table, remember this situation.
Hi, I'm Bill O'Reilly. And I'm looking at this and I'm going, if I have to go down, I'm willing to do it. Now just think about that. They want $60 million. Punish me. O'Reilly did X, Y, and Z. The papers love that. I gotta say, this is the worst day of my life. Punish me. Punish me. Now just think about that. If I have to go down, I'm willing to do it. Punish me. Enough.
That'll be in his next fantasy book.
I want to read some of the quotes from the court transcript. Some improvisational O'Reilly for you. Well, if I took you down there, and then I'd want to take a shower with you right away, and that would be the first thing I'd do. Yeah, we'd check into the room, and we would order up some room service, and I'd definitely get two wines into you as quickly as I could. You know, get them into you. You know, I would get them into you, maybe intravenously let those glasses of wine into you, because I need you to be wasted for me to feel like a man. I added that part. All right. Okay, you'd basically be in the shower, and then I would come in, and I'd join you, and you would have your back to me because I'm so ashamed of me. I added that part. I just don't want you to see me. And I would take that little loofah thing and kind of soap up your back and rub it all over, you know, get you to relax, hot water, and, you know, you'd feel the tension drain out of you, and you'd still be, you know, your back to me, and I would kind of put my arm, and it's one of those mitts, you know, those loofah mitts. Yeah, baby. How's that sound to you, to have a loofah mitt rubbed on you? Huh? How about an oven mitt? Or maybe some work gloves. What do you think of work gloves? Maybe, you know, the leather ones? Because when they get wet, they've got to feel kind of good, right? Leather gloves, a loofah mitt. I don't know, man. But I know one thing I'm going to do. I'm going to massage your boobs and get your nipples really hard because I like that. And you have spectacular boobs. Did I mention that? You have spectacular boobs for loofah mitting. That's all I'm saying. All right? I'm adding stuff here. I hope you don't mind. I'm adding things. But here's where it gets really good, all right? When he says, then I would take the other hand, okay? I would take the other hand with the falafel thing. You know, I got a loofah mitt, got some work gloves, and I got some falafel balls, and maybe some lamb kibbeh. Can I get some lamb kibbeh and some baba ganoush? Because I'm going to work that stuff right up into your... That's where I'm coming from, you know, because, you know, I want you to be Arab for me, baby. Can you do that? Can you do that? But keep your back to me because I'm a coward and a pervert. I added a lot of stuff.
All right, so that was the genius improvisational skills of Mark Maron,
right?
Because other than the actual court transcript,
right,
none of that, it's not a court transcript, but the lawsuit transcript,
right,
none of that was written down.
Right.
That was all coming out of his brain, which is, I admire him for it. My
sure.
Hat's off to you, Mark Maron. But here's a story we've been talking about all morning, and we've been delaying, because we just don't know exactly how to talk about it, because it's about a town named F***ing Austria. A town in Austria named, all right, for lack of a better way, we'll just say effing,
right,
from now
we
on.
We all know what the word is.
That's the name of the town, which apparently it's a small settlement with a population about 150. They need to do a lot more F***ing in effing.
Seriously.
But they are, the word comes from a man named, I'll spell the name out, F-O-C-K-O. We'll call him Foco so we don't get in any trouble.
Right, there aren't any miscommunications.
And the Germanic suffix I-N-G means place of Foco. So
right.
So effing is Foco's place.
Right, right.
Right? So, but apparently the members of this town are getting infuriated by the influx of Brits who come and say, we want to see all the f***ing going on here.
And they keep stealing signs.
Right, they're stealing signs. And
anything with the town's name on it, they'll steal it.
The quote from Commandant Schmidtberger.
Right, which, by the way, I'm naming my first child Commandant Schmidtberger.
He told the newspaper, we will not stand for the effing signs being removed.
It may be very amusing for you British, but effing is simply effing to us. What is this big effing joke?
And then he went on to say it is puerile, which it is, and I think we're proving right now.
Right.
But people are having stuff stolen out of their stores. One store woman said, just this morning I had to tell an English lady who stopped by here there were no effing postcards left. And then it says, yet there's still this obsession with effing. I like to point out that they also seem very peeved in
right.
the town of effing
right.
that Americans only come there to talk about the Sound of Music.
Right.
And it says that the Japanese come because they want to see Hitler's birthplace.
Right.
So this town is a huge self-image problems. Maybe the key would be to change the name of the town. But, you know, I don't really necessarily want to advocate that.
What about Foco's grandkids, great-great-grandkids? You don't take away his town name?
Yeah, I guess that's the wrong thing. I guess people should just grow up, and then the people of effing should, you know, decide exactly what they want their town to be portrayed as.
Right.
You know, maybe embrace it, make it a big tourist capital. It's like, come here for all your f***ing needs. We've got them down right here.
I know, seriously, but I just cracked up with the name Commandant Schmidtberger.
Yeah, well, I mean, Commandant Schmidtberger is very offended by the exploitation of his town, and rightfully so. And you know, then we had another story that said in Britain,
right,
they're now allowing kids to say the word for up to 5 times per class
right.
in this one school.
Well, apparently they had an especially unruly class of children, so they think this will actually ameliorate the situation. They're going to let them curse 5 times per class.
Which is only really setting it up as a more forbidden thing to do.
Right.
So now they get 5, then they get cut off,
right.
and then they go, oh, I want to do this some more.
Well, meanwhile, they said that the teacher's going to keep score. They're going to have a running score total. I mean, is there going to be any time for teaching? While they have to run the scorecard of who's cursed 5 times, who's gotten over the limit?
It's just f***ing ridiculous.
We got comedian Jim Gaffigan with Mark and Mark coming back in just a minute. It's Dan and Brendan, 27 past the hour. It's Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Morning Sedition with Mark Maron and Mark Riley on Air America Radio.
Good morning. It's Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. I'm Dan Pashman. I'm here with Brendan McDonald, Chris Lopresto here making the magic happen. We're in for Mark Maron and Mark Riley. It's 35 past the hour. Mark and Mark will be back next Tuesday. And hey, if you want to email us, drop us a line, sedition@airamericaradio.com. That's sedition@airamericaradio.com. We got a funny email here. Beverly in Philadelphia, want to say hello to you. She's listening to us, Brendan. She's enjoying the conversation. But then she writes, P.S., what in the hell is in Slovakia that would make one want to spend 5 months there?
Yeah, that's where your fiance is headed, Dan.
Exactly. That, of course, makes reference to my fiance who leaves this afternoon. Janie's going to Slovakia for 5 months. And, well, from my end, what makes me want to go there is that my fiance is going to be there.
Right, right.
But she's going because her parents are actually from Slovakia. They're from a town called Košice, which is actually the second biggest city, a small city in Slovakia. Judging from the pictures I've seen, it looks kind of like the breadbasket of Slovakia. But it's actually a very beautiful country. You know, it was obviously Czechoslovakia. Now it's the Czech Republic and Slovakia, two different countries. But I'm going to be visiting there, and I told my fiance she's got about 8 weeks to find the best goulash in town.
See, that's and see what you get here on Morning's Edition? You get geography lessons.
Right.
It's a very, very complex show.
Absolutely. But if you're out there, if you've ever been to Slovakia, if you get any tips for me or for my fiance, if you know where we should go, what we should do, drop us an email, sedition@airamericaradio.com. We also want to let you know that next Friday, September 9th, after Mark and Mark have returned, we're putting on our biggest, most exciting, most awesome live broadcast to date. Lawton Smalls will be there. Milk Carton of Milpington will be there. Former Senator Bob Kerry will be one of our guests. We're going to have...
I love how they get billing after Lawton and the Cardinal.
Yeah. And the Daily Show, Stephen Colbert. Stephen Colbert will be there in person. We're very excited to have him. That's going to be next Friday at the New School's Tishman Auditorium on 12th Street between 5th and 6th Avenues from 6 to 9 a.m. And right now, Brendan, we're going to play a clip of Mark and Mark recently to give you a little taste of the kind of entertainment that you get at these parties on the radio that are our live broadcasts.
And this was a clip with comedian Jim Gaffigan, who is a party in and of himself. We've had him on the show in the studio before, and it's just as fun having him here. But it was great having him live with a live crowd, basically doing his stand-up. And we're all big fans of his. Our intern, Anthony, one of our giant Goliaths here, is a huge fan. He was
Goliath, too.
But, you know, practically giddy seeing Jim Gaffigan in person.
He was so upset he didn't have his box of Hot Pockets for Jim Gaffigan to
sign. Based on one of Jim's routines. But let's hear his other routines here with Mark and Mark at CBGB's. It was our Morning Sedition live broadcast.
Our next guest is a regular on David Letterman. You've seen him on TV shows like Law and Order and in many TV commercials. Do you like that credit?
Yeah, I like to think that I'm whoring myself.
And he's appearing this weekend at Caroline's Comedy Club here in New York. Please welcome Jim Gaffigan to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. By the way, I just want everyone to know I look like a Republican. I'm not.
Pasty white.
It's a white bread look. I look half Republican, half Mormon. And, not that there's anything wrong with Mormons.
No, there's nothing wrong with
Mormons. They're special people.
They're kind of peculiar. I mean, I got to admit, I'm not going to be judgmental, but they have
But here we go.
Yes, they have
they got special underwear.
Yeah, special Mormon underwear, and they have many wives, and they have a gutted mountain where they keep all our information.
You know, a lot of people have that, Mark. Yeah, you got the gut, the mountain, you know, store the info there. Yeah, you know, salamander tells you what to do.
Exactly,
you
know, I understand.
Typical standard stuff, but all religions kind of kooky like that.
They are a little kooky,
I mean, Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt, and they wandered in the desert for 40 years. I don't know about you, but after a year, I would have been, this Moses doesn't know where the hell he's going. I appreciate him getting us out of Egypt. We're in the desert, folks, as in no agua. After Moses parted the Red Sea, did he say anything? He was like, ta-da!
Woo!
Oh, this guy's going to hell. He's going to hell in three religions. Covers it all there.
But in the Mormon hell, you can have more than one wife.
There you go. Yeah. That would be special. My wife, who I love very much, she's special. she has gotten very lazy recently, or as she describes it, pregnant. Yeah. I'm 9 months pregnant. Doesn't mean you can't produce two more CDs. Let's go. We're part of a team now. Well, there's your baby joke. Mark was like, well, do you want to do baby jokes? I'm like, can you make me look more bland?
Yeah, I'll do some baby jokes and then the difference between cats and dogs. Would you like to do something?
Wait a minute. Now, I wasn't saying that. I'm a big fan of the Jim Gaffigan. And I thought, baby, you have one. And usually most comics, when a baby comes out, they're like, great, new 10 minutes.
Yeah, it is one of those things.
But you're like, I don't want to be one of those baby comics who talks about, you know, kids are crazy. And then like 10 minutes later, you've got like a half hour of baby material.
You know when they roll over and they giggle and then you shake keys and stuff like that?
And they're all geniuses.
They're weird.
People treat you differently when you're holding a newborn, though, especially in strip clubs.
Hey, zing, zang, zing, 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 zang, zing. Gazoink.
Are you actually moving into this neighborhood? Is that true?
I am moving. I'm moving into a place called CBGB's. No.
The jury's in.
Uh-oh. No, I'm moving on, I guess, on the other side, you know, down the block.
It's not important to know where you're going to live.
You know. A gajillion dollars.
Really?
The irony is, like, you know, I mean, I don't think anyone in this room ever thought, you know what, one day I'd aspire to live on the Bowery. You know, I'll get a heroin addiction, I'll move into a tiny, dirty room.
I did aspire to that when I was younger, actually.
There's a lot of glamour here.
Yeah, no, it's beautiful. At least you're not moving into that weird hall of mirrors.
Gigantic building that has, like, a racehorse in it?
Yeah, there's a racehorse in it?
Well, they've just got, like, everything in there. They've got a pool. They've got a racetrack, you know, Gillies. They've got a Gillies in there. It's this gigantic
mechanical bull, a helipad where you can land a helicopter on
and
top.
And then Deborah Winger comes in crying.
Yeah.
Sad.
She's sensitive. So am I wrong, Gaffigan, or
gotten fat?
Yes,
I have. I have put on a little weight, but most of this is a stomach implant, Mark. And occasionally I'll regret it, especially when I'm talking to a woman and I will catch her staring at my stomach. I'll be like, hello, I'm up here. Not some piece of flab for you to oogle at. I don't care if I'm in a tube top and I'm rubbing cocoa butter on my belly while I'm riding a unicycle going la, 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 la. We love food in this country, Mark, and we're never satisfied.
You've got to tell me.
You know what would be good on this burger? A ham sandwich. Instead of a bun, let's use two donuts. Then we can have it for breakfast. Look out, McGriddle. Here comes the donut ham hamburger. You laugh, but you know there's someone at Dunkin' Donuts going, that's not a bad idea.
Jim Gaffigan, ladies and gentlemen.
And Jim Gaffigan can be found at jimgaffigan.com. Yeah. And we have him on the show several times, so we will obviously have him back again. Funny man. And our live broadcasts, as you could hear from that clip, always fun. And we're going to be having one at the New School on September 9th. We have our guest coming up next, Dan Gilgoff, who is with U.S. News and World Report. And the reason we're bringing him on is because he wrote about a month ago in U.S. News that New Orleans was completely vulnerable to some kind of major storm. And, you know, his prescience on that really, you know, could have told people what needs to happen in these kind of storms that we could prevent something like this from happening again. So we're looking forward to speaking with Dan Gilgoff in just a second here, and we'll also wrap up the show. I've got a little more to say on the dinosaurs on Noah's Ark.
We got a pretty good email out to read.
I have some proof that, to my surprise, there are dinosaurs on Noah's Ark, just maybe not the one we're thinking about. We'll get into that when we come back. It's 43 past the hour. This is Morning Sedition. I'm Brendan. That's Dan. This is Air America Radio.
Oh, Franken, nothing to lose. Makes you laugh at the troubling news. Sometimes I wonder if he's hitting the booze. Oh, Franken, king of the Jews.
Air America Radio.
The hour, hour. It's Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. I'm Dan Pashman. I'm here with Brendan McDonald and Chris Lopresto. How you doing over there, Kalo?
I'm doing good.
So tomorrow we're going to play hopefully a lengthier clip of R.E.M.'s new song, Permanent Vacation, which is very exciting. It's not released yet. This is special, unreleased material. But because they're cool, because R.E.M. likes Air America, their manager forwarded us some of the song, and we're going to play it for you tomorrow. Special advance material.
I think that makes us cool by association.
Yeah, we are R.E.M.
Exactly. Well, I think we're ready for a guest now, Brendan.
Yeah, well, we know that all the aftermath of the hurricane has really made us look harder at the Gulf Coast of America and into states like Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama, and what can be done to prevent further catastrophic damage in the future. Well, our guest, Dan Gilgoff, the senior editor for U.S. News and World Report, wrote a piece last month in the magazine saying that the Big Easy was going to have big problems with any storms in the future. He had some quotes in there of someone saying if a hurricane comes within the next month, New Orleans could no longer exist. Dan Gilgoff, how are you this morning?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Oh, well, thanks for being on. And I guess just the first question is, how did New Orleans make itself more vulnerable today than it was in the past?
Well, for a couple of reasons. The main one being this long process of erosion that's probably happened over the last 50 years or so. Hurricane Betsy struck New Orleans directly in 1965. Category 3 storm killed about 75 people in and around New Orleans. Now, if a storm like that struck today, because basically there are 30 miles less of coastline, less of a buffer from the Atlantic to kind of steal some of the power away from the hurricane and prevent storm surge, that, even a level 3 hurricane, could be pretty catastrophic for New Orleans, even though 40 years ago it wasn't, because there was much more wetlands to protect against the storm.
And now, is the only reason that it wasn't as catastrophic as you're saying because the city did not receive a direct hit? Is that what happened yesterday?
Pretty much.
Okay.
If the storm would have hit 10 to 15 miles to the west, as was actually expected to,
right,
we could be looking on the order of tens of thousands of casualties. A couple years ago, the American Red Cross actually identified New Orleans or the prospect of a hurricane striking New Orleans as the deadliest natural disaster threat in the nation, with up to 100,000 casualties. And it's really difficult to fathom that, but if a storm surge enters Lake Pontchartrain to the extent that it overflows the walls and spills into New Orleans, we're talking about 27 feet of water in a lot of neighborhoods.
But Dan, I guess the big issue here then are these levees. How come that hasn't been upgraded within this time frame?
Well, the levees in New Orleans were built only to protect from a Category 3 storm or lower.
Right.
Right now, Category 4 or 5 protection, even feasibility studies to raise the walls to that level are years off and millions of dollars off. So we're not going to see that anytime soon.
So they're just going to, if something like this were to happen again, if a storm were to rear itself, would you just see another full-scale evacuation? Is that the best they can hope for?
It is, but I think it's important to note that even with the evacuation this time, which saw about 80% of the population of New Orleans evacuate, that still means you have about 50 to 100,000 people left in their homes.
Right, and cripplingly really poor dangerous people as well.
Yeah, New Orleans is one of the highest poverty rates in the country. Over 20% of the population there is living below the poverty line, and one in six households doesn't even have a car there.
Right.
So a lot of people feel stranded, and even this system which they developed of shipping people, ferrying people via bus to the Superdome. I talked to a scientist yesterday who was over at the Superdome measuring how high above sea level it was. Turns out it's about a foot or two above sea level and prone to about 13 feet of flooding itself.
Ugh.
So not really the ideal place to be sending people right now.
We're talking to Dan Gilgoff, he's senior editor for U.S. News and World Report. He actually wrote an article about a month ago that predicted many of the problems that New Orleans is currently facing. And Dan, we talked extensively yesterday in the show about the poverty in New Orleans. Do you think or hope there's a possibility that the hurricane coming so close to New Orleans will help to shine a light on the poverty problem in that city?
It may. I think it's more likely to raise questions about how much responsibility the city has to actually evacuate those people. When I was down there last month, I was talking to the city, and it struck me that any plans to evacuate people out of the city, which is really the only surefire way to save lives down there, are still a while off. And they're just beginning to develop plans of enlisting public transportation, and then also with some kind of public-private partnerships, working with churches in particular, to kind of home in on some of the less fortunate down there and develop a plan to get them out. But right now, there's really been no attempt to get people who don't have the money or transport out of the city to get them out.
Now, Dan, another thing we're seeing in the news today is predictions that this could be an environmental catastrophe for New Orleans because of the low level sea level of the city and the fact that the flooding is just going to kind of create a toxic stew. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, that's true. And there was reported yesterday, it's difficult to tell. I mean, New Orleans, I think, to a certain extent right now, is certainly something of a black box because communications are down there.
Mm-hmm.
But there was reports of another levee breach yesterday that's flooding kind of the northern part of the city. And that's really what's perhaps most scary about this flooding the bowl scenario, which the American Red Cross ranked as the most deadly in the states, because you have the whole petrochemical industry is a huge presence down there.
Right.
You have even hardware stores and even people's chemicals they keep in their house would all get swept up into this toxic brew that would basically be deadly and filling the city to 20 feet or more. So that's one of the that's one of the real risks, and that snakes and vermin, and it's a kind of witch's brew of chemicals. So, yeah, environmental catastrophe is another thing to consider.
And that's really interesting. I didn't know that it was the American Red Cross that had flagged it as the most dangerous in the country. Well, we should also remind people that areas in Mississippi, specifically Biloxi, devastated by this storm, the governor of Mississippi saying that up to 80 known dead right now, and as well as Alabama and New Orleans, as you said, Dan, still a kind of a black box as we're not getting full communications from there yet, and it's going to be a little while before we know the full ramifications of the storm. But Dan Gilgoff, thanks for being on and bringing us up to speed with what exactly the logistical problems in this area are and how we can maybe try to address them in the future.
Thanks for having me.
All right.
Thanks, Dan.
Dan Gilgoff is from U.S. News and World Report. He is a senior editor there.
That's right. And before we go, we got a great email in here. Earlier we were talking about these extreme creationists who are trying to rewrite their own Bible. They call themselves hardcore Christians, yet they are trying to convince people that that dinosaurs were on Noah's Ark. They're trying to convince people that dinosaurs are in the Bible, even though we know that that's not true. At least we were arguing that it's not true. Brendan and I were having a very passionate discussion about this. And now we got an email, Brendan, from someone who is very close to you and seems to have shot some holes in some of the things you were saying.
Right. It says, "Dear Brendan, I just checked the attic and found your old Noah's Ark toy. There with Noah and his family was two of every animal. Imagine my surprise when I found two dinosaurs. Love, Mom."
So I guess in Brendan's childhood, there were dinosaurs.
That infuriates me, though, because it says that they're trying to brainwash right. you from that early, early age.
Right.
I think Dan Pashman had the line of the show today when we had a caller trying to say that, but there is a dinosaur in the Bible. It's in the book of Job when they're talking about dragons. And, you know, that's what they thought a dinosaur was back then. And Dan said, just because you want dragon to turn into dinosaur doesn't make it so. You can't just say that, well, it says dragon, but it means dinosaur. And it doesn't even say dragon. It says it's a Hebrew word that we actually got tanim, which it means monster. And it's actually from the book of Exodus where the two high priests put a staff together and created this monster, the tanim.
Right.
Like, you know, that doesn't mean dinosaur, folks.
Right. It only means dinosaur if you desperately, desperately want it to.
And we got some emails and calls of people saying, well, you're not being sensitive to people's beliefs. You know, I prefaced that whole conversation with the fact that I don't want to be sensitive to those beliefs anymore because they're wrong.
There are some things in science that are fact. Gravity is a fact. The Earth revolves around the sun. That's a fact.
There was an article in The Onion last week, that the satirical newspaper that we get here for free in the city. It said, evangelical scientists refute gravity with new intelligent falling theory. I think that sums it up pretty well right there.
Right. Gravity is a fact. The Earth revolving around the sun is a fact. And evolution is a fact. Fortunately, the morons who don't believe in it will slowly be phased out of existence.
Well, another fact is that tomorrow on this show will be the last day we speak to Cindy Sheehan live from Crawford, Texas. It's been a hell of a month for them down there at Camp Casey. And we really owe a debt of gratitude to them for reinvigorating reinvigorating the peace movement in this country. We also have R.E.M.'s new song, Permanent Vacation. You're going to hear some of it tomorrow. It's an unreleased song.
That's right.
It's about the president's permanent vacation. Mark and Mark are on vacation, but Dan and Brendan, Dan and I,
you're
and
Brendan.
I will be here tomorrow and throughout the week. Stay with us here on Air America Radio.